السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, for the last few weeks, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have spoken about certain a'mal that will be weightiest on the day of judgment when placed upon the scale. Today is a continuation of that same topic. The first hadith that I would like my audience to know about is a hadith that Imam Tirmizi has recorded in Tirmizi on the strength, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, that when Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was invited into the heavens, and that event is well known, well documented, the night of Mi'raj, he had the chance to visit many prophets. On each heaven, he visited a prophet. On the seventh heaven, he met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he gave some nasiha, some advice to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He gave some advice to the Nabi of Allah. That advice was shared by the Nabi of Allah with the Sahaba, and then later on it was captured in the narrative that I am going to relate to my noble audience, that Imam Tirmizi has recorded. So when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ibrahim said, "Iqra ummataka min salam." That convey my salam. Hazrat Ibrahim is saying, convey my salam to your ummah. That in itself indicates the lofty status that we have. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam recognized the lofty status that has been conferred upon the ummah of Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, "Iqra ummataka minni salam." Give my salam to your ummah. Wa akhbirhum. And inform them. There's some information. Wa akhbirhum. Inform them. أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ طَيِّبَةُ التُّرْبَةِ عَذْبَةُ الْمَاءِ وَإِنَّهَا قِيعَانِ. That Jannah, number one, طَيِّبَةُ التُّرْبَةِ, the soil of Jannah is very pure, is very fertile. Meaning that if you plant little, the reward will be maximum. You give little time, the harvest will be mighty. أَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ طَيِّبَةُ التُّرْبَةِ, the soil of Jannah is fertile, it is pure. عَذْبَةُ الْمَاءِ, and the water of Jannah is very, very sweet. وَإِنَّهَا قِيعَانِ, and the land is level. There's no obstacle, there's no hindrance, there's no stretch of mountains, stretch of trees, it is level. So if you stand on one side, you can see right through. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Anna ghirasaha," that the trees, because there's no trees right now, the trees of Jannah. So if you need a stretch of trees that enhances, improves the beauty of Jannah, then the trees of Jannah are Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. So the gist of the narrative is that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is making a recommendation that each one of us, we plant our trees in Jannah whilst we are sitting in this dunya by the recitation of these azkar. So this is a mighty dhikr. And because it is mighty, the Nabi of Allah has spoken about it in different themes, in different styles. And that's why for the last 2-3 weeks, we were not able to relate all the different narratives pertaining to Subhanallah walhamdulillah. There's another hadith that is more amazing, that gives us another aspect and a dimension to this dhikr that will be very weightiest on our scale. Now, this hadith has been captured by Imam Tirmizi once again and by Abu Dawood. And the Sahabiya, she's a female of course, her name is Yusayra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she is one of the Muhajirat, one of those noble women that migrated from Makkah to Medina. So she is a Muhajira. She says that one day the Nabi of Allah was given a advice, nasiha, to the women. So this was for the women. Of course, the message is for all genders, men and women, male and female. But at this point, the Nabi of Allah was addressing the women. And he said, عَلَيْكُنَّ بِالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّقْدِيسِ. Make it incumbent upon yourself to make tasbih, to glorify the one that is above all blemish. Subhanallah. Tasbih. Wat tahleel. And make the dhikr of La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. Wat taqdees. And sanctifying your Lord by words similar to Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. Subhan, pure is he, the Holy King, Malik al-Quddus. Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus is a word by which we sanctify our Creator. That's why after the Witr prayer, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus 3 times. And the third time he used to stress upon Quddus. For example, this was the method. After the witr he used to say, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. This was the practice of the Nabi of Allah, sanctifying. So the Nabi of Allah says to Hazrat Yusayra and the women, عَلَيْكُنَّ بِالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّقْدِيسِ. وَعَقِدْنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ. And count the tasbih, the tahleel, the taqdees on your fingers. وَعَقِدْنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ. Count this on your fingers, meaning not only your mind and your tongue is engaged to this ibadat, but allow your fingers to be a part of it as well. Like it has been said, when a person is reading the Qur'an, if he is reading off by heart, without the presence of a Qur'an, indeed he will be rewarded. But if he is holding a Qur'an, and he is reciting, there are many, many different rewards that he is collecting whilst he is reciting. Number one, being in the state of tahara, holding the Qur'an, looking into the Qur'an, these are additional benefits of reciting the Qur'an or making tilawat when the Qur'an is present. So the Nabi of Allah says, وَعَقِدْنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ. Count the names of Allah, may it be tasbih, tahleel, taqdees, بِالْأَنَامِلِ on your fingers. Nowadays we have the digital tasbih. That is fine as well because your fingers are moving. Your fingers are moving. You may have the traditional tasbih, the fingers are being used. You may have the digital one, fingers are being used. I made mention before that a lot of people, without sound knowledge, having a judgmental attitude, declared the digital tasbih, this tasbih, to be a bid'ah. And I made mention last week that this is not fiddeen, this is liddeen. This is not something that we believe is a part of the religion, but what is part of the religion, it will assist us to establish it, and that is the dhikr of Allah. Liddeen, deen ke liye, deen mein nahi. It's a difference. So, wa'aqidna bil anamil, count the names of Allah on the fingers. فَإِنَّهُنَّ مَسْؤُولَاتْ مُسْتَنْتَقَاتْ. Then the Nabi of Allah says that these fingers, مَسْؤُولَاتْ, will be ushered into the court of Allah, and then they will be questioned. مُسْتَنْتَقَاتْ, and they will speak. Just like Allah has given this piece of flesh the ability to translate, convey the emotions that are concealed in the breast, Allah will allow these fingers to speak. فَإِنَّهُنَّ مَسْؤُولَاتْ مُسْتَنْتَقَاتْ وَلَا تَغْفَلْنَا فَتَنْسَيْنَا الرَّحْمَةِ. And do not place yourself in the state of negligence. Do not deprive yourself of the dhikr of Allah, of the remembrance of Allah, or counting the names of Allah, because فَتَنْسَيْنَا الرَّحْمَةِ, that will result in you being deprived of the mercy of Allah. That's why in Surah Taha, Surah 20, verse 124, Allah Almighty says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. That those people that decline, pull away from the reminder, from the remembrance of Allah, نَحْشُرُهُ, we will resurrect them, allow them to stand on the other side in the state of blindness. And Allah Almighty says in Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 24, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is a very fine commentary to that fragment in the hadith, وَعَقِدْنَا بِالْأَنَامِلِ, count the names of Allah on your fingers. So what does Allah Almighty say in Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 24? يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. On the day of judgment, the tongues, the hands, the feet, the legs will bear witness against the person for what he used to do. It will bear witness against the person. It will become a witness against the person for what he used to do. بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So if we are using this body, allow it to be used towards أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَ, towards the dhikr of Allah, so we can benefit on the other side. It is most important. Now, one kalima, one dhikr is Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. I would like to shed some light upon the importance of Alhamdulillah, so we can understand how weightiest this dhikr is. The principal hadith pertaining to Alhamdulillah has been recorded once again by Imam Tirmizi on the strength of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, in which the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكْرُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءُ Alhamdulillah. The best dhikr is La ilaha illallah, but the best dua, supplication, is Alhamdulillah. And the Nabi of Allah says, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua, supplication, is the essence of ibadah. It is the core of ibadat. That once a person recognizes his creator, he acknowledges his creator, he understands who his creator is. Al-ma'rifatu ra'su mali. The Nabi of Allah says, ma'rifa is my capital. The ma'rifat of Allah, the recognition of Allah, is my capital. Al-ma'rifatu ra'su mali. Everything above that has been constructed upon the foundations of ma'rifah, the ma'rifah of Allah. So once a person has attained a high level of recognition, he himself, it is intrinsic to a human being at that station. At that station it becomes intrinsic, inherent, that this person fall in front of that Creator out of humility and display a very high level of hamd, gratitude. So that's why the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَفْزَلُ الذِّكَرْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَفْزَلُ الدُّعَى أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. The best dua is Alhamdulillah. Now, to allow my audience to understand how mighty this dhikr is, this word is, I would like to relate a hadith that has been captured by Imam Muslim in Muslim. Imam Muslim, he has recorded this hadith in Muslim. The Ravi of this hadith is Hazrat Abi Malik Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala an. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-tuhuru shatrul iman walhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan wa subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'an aw tamla'u ma bayna samawati wal ard was-salatu nurun was-sadaqatu burhanun والصبر ضياء والقرآن حجة لك أو عليك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "الطهور شطر الإيمان." Purity, cleanliness is half of faith. Freeing our soul from the filth that is covering it, the filth of kufr, the filth of shirk, the filth of nifaq. To purify it, to uproot all the impurities from the soul. This is half of faith. You have made half of the journey. Because when the inside is clean, then a person will live a life that is clean. Then the Nabi of Allah says, Walhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan. The utterance, the word Alhamdulillah will fill the scale on the day of judgment with virtue. Ek alhamdulillah apne kaha. And the scale of virtue, the scale on the day of judgment will be filled with virtue. There will be no room left. One alhamdulillah. Because true alhamdulillah that echoes from the core of the heart, echoes after a person has beautified the core of the heart with the ma'rifat of Allah. If the ma'rifat of Allah has not made room in the core of the heart, the Alhamdulillah will be a mere utterance. It will not carry that weight. The Alhamdulillah that the Nabi of Allah is pointing out, that will fill the scale on the day of judgment with virtue, is that Alhamdulillah that emits from the core of the heart, and that core of the heart will only allow this word to echo. Once that section is beautified with the ma'rifat, the recognition of the Creator. Walhamdulillah tamla'ul mizan. Then the Nabi of Allah says something amazing. Wa subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'an aw tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal ard. That if we attach subhanallah with alhamdulillah, the reward of Alhamdulillah is filling the scale with virtue. But if we attach Subhanallah walhamdulillah, Subhanallah with Alhamdulillah, Tamla'an aw tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal ard, then this utterance, this sentence, this word will fill the gap, the khala between the heavens and the earth. So how weightless is this? How amazing is this? And how long does it take to say Subhanallah walhamdulillah? But we should pause, halt, contemplate, ponder when we are saying Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Who are we thanking? Allahu Akbar, He is the greatest. Why is He the greatest? Think about it. Think about the theater in which you are right now. compared to the different galaxies, the different Milky Ways. Compare it and think about who you are. How great is that creator, Allahu Akbar. Then subhanallah, alhamdulillah, when it is uttered, it will open up different doors, different windows in your soul that have never been opened before. That will allow you to experience another level of spirituality. That's why it has been said, I have seen my mashaykh, that in winter, without a heater in the room, they used to make dhikr for half an hour, nisa'ah, and when they used to finish, they were perspiring, sweating like we have had a workout in the gym. Like a person, he runs on the treadmill for half an hour, it doesn't matter if it is warm, if it is cold outside, he will sweat. The mashayikh, when they used to come out of this spiritual workout, they used to be sweating. Because the name of Allah has that impact, but it has to originate, emit from the core of the heart. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. This subhanallah walhamdulillah can fill the khala, the empty space between the heaven and the earth. Then the Nabi of Allah further, he says, وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ. Salah is light. Meaning that if a person establishes the prayer, he will free himself from evil. And when a person frees himself from evil, there's a radiant shine on his face. Many a times you see, oh, there's a lot of nur on your face. This nur is a translation, a mutarajjim of the life that the person is living. When a person abstains from haram, from forbidden actions, there's a nur on his face. This nur is a reflection of how this person is living inside and outside. What does Allah Almighty say in the glorious Quran in Surah Ankabut, Surah 29, verse 45? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Surah 29, verse 45. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah will give you the ability to abstain from fahsha and munkar. Fahsha and munkar, loose translation, is all bad. Everything that is forbidden is fahsha and munkar. So when a person is praying in the proper frame, with the proper mind, with the proper emotions, with the proper sentiments, then this salah, just like subhanallah walhamdulillah, properly, it will give you that reward. If a person prays the salah properly, then it will allow him to abstain from haram. Now this salah will be the result of nur. Nur in this dunya, nur in the grave, there will be a light, and nur on the day of judgment. Last week, one brother after Jummah, he took me to the side and he said, Imam Sahab, so many people praying, and if you look at them, their prayer, their actions, their postures are incorrect. Ruku is not correct. Sajda is not correct. The sitting posture is not correct. The raising of the hand is not correct. The folding of the arms is not correct. So this salah will not become the nur that the Nabi of Allah is speaking about. That's why it is most important that each person go to his local imam and say, Imam Sahab, check my salah. Check my salah. Each person should go to his local imam and say, Imam Sahab, check my salah. What a moment of regret and remorse that a person find himself on the other side, believing that he has established 5 prayers per day, but knowing that the quality of the prayer is very, very dismal. It is very low. How long does it take to say to your imam, check my prayer, see if it is correct, see if my standing position is right, my ruku is right, are my clothes perfect, because I'm standing in front of my creator. وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ صَلَاةٌ is nur. وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ. And this sadaqah, charity, is a evidence of his faith. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ, and patience, wherever patience is demanded. The Nabi of Allah used to say, As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. That sabr is demanded When a person is struck by affliction, one person is struck now and he loses the reins of sabr. He allows the moment to get the better of him. He wails. He loses control. And after 3 days he displays sabr, he has lost the reward of sabr. Because sabr had to be displayed at that moment. As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. Wal-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. And the Qur'an will be a witness or an evidence for you or against you based upon how the person treated the Qur'an. So Alhamdulillah, the utterance, Alhamdulillah is an amazing utterance. Try to make this your practice. That whenever you see something that is favorable, say Alhamdulillah. You enter the house and you find that everyone is as I left it, say Alhamdulillah. After 8 hours you arrive home and you see your children in the state of health as they were when you left, say Alhamdulillah. You find food on the table, say Alhamdulillah. You wake up early in the morning, say Alhamdulillah. I have learned this from my Shaykh Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatum. When he was here, the only thing that I heard from his mouth was Alhamdulillah. I was amazed. Everything he was saying, Alhamdulillah. And then I asked him and he said that this is the best dua. And he gave a reference of the hadith that I just made mention. And he said, on this Allah will increase the bounties. Always say Alhamdulillah. You're driving, you're sitting in a car. There are many people that don't drive a car. Think about it. Alhamdulillah. You find yourself that you're driving safely. You have not been hit. Alhamdulillah. You look at yourself. You're wearing clothes. Alhamdulillah. And you do this for a couple of weeks. And then it becomes a habit. You are habituated to saying Alhamdulillah. That is the moment that you don't have to think. Alhamdulillah will come from the bottom of your heart. Now we're going to stop the topic for the time being. Inshallah we will resume this topic next week or the week after that. But I would like to make mention of two or three ahadith pertaining to the 10 days that are to arrive. In a few days, subject to the sighting of the hilal, the crescent, we will know that it is the first 10 days or the first 10 days of the Hijjah have started. What I want my noble brothers to observe is that don't treat these 10 days any different than the 10 days of Ramadan. Don't treat these 10 days any different than the 10 days of Ramadan. These 10 days have great merit, great reward. The scholars, the muhakkikin, modern and past, have made a statement that I would like to share with you to give you understanding of how important these 10 days are. They say that Ashrul Awakhir min Ramadan, Ashrul Awakhir min Ramadan afzal. That the last 10 days of Ramadan are superior. They are superior, afdal, min jihati al-layl, because of the night, not because of the day. Let me say that again. Ashrul awakhir min Ramadan afdal min jihati al-layl, li'anna fiha laylatul qadr. The last 10 days of Ramadan are superior, the last 10, let me say that again. The last 10 nights of Ramadan are superior because these 10 nights are a host to the night of power. وَأَشْرُ الْأَوَّلْ مِنْ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ جِهَةِ النَّهَارِ لِأَنَّ فِيهَا يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ وَيَوْمِ النَّهَرِ. And the 10 days of ذِي الْحِجَّةِ are superior. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are superior because these 10 days host two noble actions or two noble events. One is the event known as Arafah and the second is the day of sacrifice. So those 10 nights are superior. You cannot compare any set of 10 nights with the 10 nights of Ramadan. And you cannot compare a set of 10 days with the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah.
That's why the Nabi of Allah, the hadith is in Tirmizi and in Ibn Majah. Hadith has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi and Imam Ibn Majah. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ There are no days that are dearer to Allah. Days, not nights, because it doesn't have Laylatul Qadr. There are no days that are dearer to Allah أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدَ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ There are no days that are dearer to Allah to commit to the ibadat of Allah than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah wants the believers to commit themselves to the ibadat of Allah during the days. Now to encourage us, the Nabi of Allah says, يَعْدِلُ صِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِصِيَامِ السَّنَةِ وَقِيَامِ كل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. So if you do fast in the first 9 days, of course the 10th we are the guest of Allah Almighty, so we can't eat, we can't fast. So the first 9 days, if we fast for each day بصيام كل سنة, we get the reward of fasting for 1 year. So if we fast for 9 days, we collect the reward of fasting, or 9 days, we get the reward of fasting for 9 years. And each night is special as well. Indeed, the nights of Laylatul Qadr are superior than the nights of Dhul Hijjah. But to encourage us so we commit the day and the night to the ibadat of Allah, the Nabi of Allah says that the worshipping of Allah, the ibadat of Allah during the nights, you will collect Laylatul Qadr for each night. So you collect the reward of Laylatul Qadr for each night. Now as we know that the days have been blessed because of Arafah, so the Nabi of Allah further speaks about Arafah. The hadith is in Muslim, in which the Nabi of Allah says, صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Additional reward. First reward, of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, first reward is that if you fast for each day, you collect the reward of fasting for 1 year. If you worship Allah during the night, for each night you get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Then there's additional reward because the days have been granted superiority because of Yawm Arafah. So the Nabi of Allah says that if you fast on the day of Arafah, صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then I believe that this 1 day fast has the power, the ability to atone, to remove the 1 year past sins and 1 year future sins, alluding to minor sins. So don't treat these 10 days any different than you treat the month of Ramadan. Of course, the fasting month of Ramadan is for us. This is not for us. But if you take it lightly, you will miss out on the opportunity. That's why in your mind, treat it as the month of Ramadan so you can extract maximum benefit. These 10 days are for us so we can elevate ourselves spiritually. We can establish connection with Allah as we established in the month of Ramadan. Allah Almighty allowed the entire ummah to receive the barakat of these 10 days. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.